This is I Should Be Writing, Season 17, Episode 38. My name is Merle Lafferty. This is I Should Be Writing, the podcast for wannabe fiction writers. I use she, her pronouns. I stream on Twitch this podcast 2 days a week and a couple of other days, stream a couple of other things. And then it goes into my RSS feed. Podcast has been going since 2005 and I still have things to say. Or repeating myself. But you weren't listening in 2005, I'll bet. Maybe one of you was. I don't know. I'm totally with it today. Good morning, afternoon, evening, everybody. Hope everyone's doing well. After reading all that ADD stuff, I still decided to get a couple of little things that were on fire done today so that I could spend the afternoon focused on writing. So, I didn't do any writing this morning, and let's hope that I'm productive after this is done. I did get a lot done this morning, and important stuff, but it's, should have been writing time. But the fires, you know? The book's not on fire yet, that's the problem. And I don't know if the lady talks about that in the book, if you do have something that's less important but on fire. Yeah, so work. I got work done on the novel yesterday. We'll be doing more work today. She gave me to the end of the month, and that's almost here. I started reading a thriller by Riley Sager, I believe. I think it's called Lock Every Door. And it's kind of strange. I'm liking it. The concept is there's a super fancy hotel or super fancy apartment building in New York that's really, really, really exclusive and also had a book written about it or inside it or something or featuring it. And so the protagonist gets a job inhabiting one of their empty apartments. I don't remember why, but that's a job they pay for. You get to inhabit the empty apartment until somebody buys it and moves in. I don't know why. You don't need to keep an apartment running like you do a car, so I have no idea. I don't remember that part. But I'm on board. Sure, whatever. And then, of course, she goes inside and everybody acts weird and somebody disappears and it's all very mysterious. So I've had a couple of people tell me recently that they're that they just found my show, they supported the Patreon and got all the archives and are starting from episode one. And one person said, I have no idea where your career is now, but I'm like 50 episodes in. And I'm like, oh, okay. That's, I don't even know what to say to that. That's, it's flattering. It's a little embarrassing. And I kind of do want to get a time machine and go back and say, you know, keep going, little camper. You're going to build that career. Okay, so Evil Murr is coming. Evil Murr says, friend me on Nintendo so we can both play Animal Crossing 4 hours every day. Okay. It's really funny that I don't think anybody's ever chosen that one, and it was a lot more pertinent last year when I was wasting an awful lot of time playing Animal Crossing every day. Luckily, I've not been as addicted to my Switch. Pretty much, I don't pick it up until the evening. But now I feel like I'm cheating on Mass Effect because I kind of got I figured something out in Hades, and so I've been playing a lot more Hades lately. Which is ridiculous because I've never played Mass Effect before, and so I want to get in there and work on that. But yes, the evil Murbot is still working on that. But at least they did start working on it. So yes, that's evil Mur. So anyway, back to writing. I am reading Lock Every Door, and I'm doing a lot of nonfiction reading with that ADD stuff. Trying to take notes, trying to follow instructions, see if it can help. Any help is good. But I am very, very excited, folks, because I'm starting to get emails for the good news section. So we're going to start the good news section. I have no good news. No, things are fine, but I have nothing new to report. But if you do, I don't care what it is, even if it's a rejection, I want to hear it. So you can either tell me now in chat or you can email me later for talk on the next episode. So I will be looking for those while the chat updates. I even put them in their own folder. Amber writes, I'm a longtime listener, and while I haven't caught any live streams, I do like listening to them after the fact. I love that you put out calls for good news, so I wanted to share I just graduated with my PhD in creative writing. Wow. I should say doctor, Amber. Well done, doctor. That's really awesome. So congratulations. I'm curious what you're going to do with that. I assume teach, but that's pretty awesome. And Gwendolyn writes, I turned a manuscript into an editor for the first time. I don't have a lot of experience talking about my work with a professional, so the conversation we had about what was great and what could be improved was also an amazing first-time experience. Now I have to actually edit it. But, yes, that's... I'm sorry, I don't know if I should have said your name or not. If you don't want me to say your name that's on the email, and you want me to say your online name, tell me, because I'm reading it from top down, so I see your name, and then I see the email, and then some people sign something different, and apparently I'm that kid who did the whole test, and then the last question of the test was, now don't do any of these. This is really a test to see if you read all the instructions before you got started. So, yay button for turning a manuscript into an editor, because that is that's a scary thing. It really is. Okay, now to our chat for good news. Fourth rejection for my manuscript last week. Indigo Quill, you are doing awesome. That's great. And remember, if you are new to the podcast, rejections are awesome because they're showing that you're a working writer, because working writers get rejected. And I'm not stupid. I know rejection sucks, but this is one thing you can do that will lessen the sting and remind you that everybody goes through this. So when you get rejected, the hurt is normal. The frustration is normal. But try to remember, you're doing your job. You want your job to be a writer, you're doing it. You're doing your part. Now you just gotta keep going until the editor does their part too. So that's why I cheer rejections. News from Tree Lobsters. I received an agency agreement from a literary agency. We'll likely accept today or tomorrow. That is fantastic. Congratulations, Tree Lobsters. I know it's very exciting, and I hope you and your agent get moving on your career very soon. I bought a bottle of Writer's Tears whiskey and I take a shot every time I get a rejection. That's excellent, Underpope. I have wished that I could drink Writer's Tears just for the novelty, but I don't drink whiskey, so I kind of want the vodka that comes out of the skull. Okay, so last call for good news. And cheer for everybody. If you have good news and you're too shy to say it, then I'm hitting the yay button for you. And I'm hitting the yay button for everybody in for your future good news, because it'll come. Because you're going to be persistent. And that is what Matt and I call a good segue. I was actually, it always weirds me out. I'm not religious at all, but I do go to a Unitarian church because I do like the what they do with the community and for the community, and it's a bit of socialization and spirituality that I enjoy. And for some reason, the ministers like me, and they've asked me to help out. Like, there's a group of people that help out with the services, either picking readings or writing reflections or something. And since I'm a writer and since I'm pretty fast, they like me to contribute, which always feels like I really feel like a poser, because I'm like, everybody in this room has more faith than I do, but Unitarians don't ask you to do that. So, anyway, I was writing about persistence today, and I started to think a bit more, about the importance of persistence and how terrible it is to half-ass a job. And I am breaking my own slight swearing rules, because I don't think ass is that bad, but you really can't say half-butt a job. That doesn't make sense. Real quick, Robin's arm graduated college this past semester, if that counts as good news. It sure does. Definitely. Congratulations, Robin's arm. And welcome. So yay for Robin's arm. Okay. So it was making me think about persistence, because I was using the metaphor of my garden this spring. Our backyard's a mess, and I wanted to plant something that would look nice, but be shade plants, because I've got a lot of shade back there. So I actually went to Better Homes and Gardens, which if kids growing up in the 80s, there was a major feminist movement to move completely beyond domestic stuff. And then when we grew up, both women and men are like, okay, how do you do laundry? there are a lot of things that typically were pushed onto women to, and, you know, not appreciated, but it's stuff that needs to be done. And so, you know, I grew up poo-pooing things like Better Homes and Gardens. And then I'm like, I need to build a shade garden. And I looked, and Better Homes and Gardens has a shade garden information. Can you believe it? So yeah, I looked at Better Homes and Gardens and found a lot of information on how to build different kinds of gardens for different purposes. And then I went online and I bought a bunch of plants to be shipped to me. And the nursery said, we're not going to ship until after the last frost date of your zone. And I thought, that's really, really responsible. And I got all excited and they came. And then I started digging. You know, one thing I forgot is that trees make shade. And if you want to plant in the shade, there's going to be roots there, tree roots. So it's hard to dig in that area. So I did what I could, and I planted, and then they all died. Because I didn't do a good job. I wasted effort, I wasted money on this garden that I was really, really hoping would be nice. I didn't do a good job. I'll just say it. And then in thinking about that, it's almost worse to do a one-time crappy half-hearted job than to not do it at all. And I take this into, I expand this to be other places, because it's like those, do you remember the, showing my age here, remember all the yellow ribbon magnets that came out around the time of 9/11, and you just saw everyone driving around with these yellow ribbon magnets, and I'm like, what the hell is that doing? Who are you helping? Are you achieving anything? And, you know, it's around Memorial Day, so it's like you'd bring out the flag at Memorial Day, and then, but that's not doing much. And a lot of people think, say, you know, talking about Black history in February is enough, or talking about queer history in June is enough. And it's not. And it's almost worse, because you sound like you're dedicating yourself to support of something, whether it be a garden or people or your manuscript. And then when you do just a little bit, you're letting down the thing that you claim to be helping. Because you let it down because it thinks, either consciously or metaphorically, that this gesture will be followed by more help. You know, I got your back is, that actually means I'm ready to catch you. And a lot of times it doesn't end up. And so when taking this back to writing, it's when you go in and you're afraid to write what's really in your heart, whether it's violent or gory or sexual or talks about something that people around you find distasteful. And I remember a time growing up when my mother was writing poetry, and this memory is weird because I remember my mom swearing a lot when I was a kid, but she'd put swear words into her poem, and my dad didn't approve, and she's like, it's not me that's saying the words, that's the poem that I wrote. And, you know, she was comfortable with the distance, but he didn't seem to be okay with it. But that's just the kind of thing of writing something distasteful that maybe people around you won't like. And people pull back. Or if they get a critique, they think, this is going to be my... You hear the critique of maybe you should flesh this character out more. Maybe you could put your characters in more peril, raise the stakes. And what you hear, that's what they're saying. What you hear is, this is garbage. Throw it away. And it takes persistence to go in there and address those concerns. It takes further persistence to figure out if you agree with that. Because that's a scary decision to make. It's like, first there's the hurt, and then there's probably a little flare of anger. And then you got to go in and see... Some people stop there and say, screw you, you're stupid, or no, you're right, I'm garbage, and then they don't do anything. The third step is the important persistence thing when you go in and you have to decide whether you agree with them or not. If you agree with them, you work on it and you send it out again. If you don't agree with them, you say that's one person's opinion and you send it out again. So persistence is fighting against entropy, the entropy of you will not have a writing career. And I am only one person, and I can only speak from my experience, but I got to tell you that the fear that you won't have a writing career, for me, it doesn't go away. Right now, I mean, yeah, last year sucked on so many levels. And I think a lot of people are trying to give others the benefit of the doubt because it was so rough. But I didn't get a lot of writing done. And the writing I did get done, they're getting more edit rounds than I had hoped. And I'm thinking, okay, trying to think logically that last year was bad and it's taken me some time to get my feet under me again for writing. I'm also writing different things than I was writing before. Also, I took a couple of years off to write two licensed novels that were not in my own world. And so I haven't done the whole entire world creation in a while. But what my hind brain is saying, no, you peaked with Six Wakes, and now you're going downhill. Nothing will ever be that good again, and you might as well just quit. That's what my brain is saying. And so I still have to consider persistence as well, because I want to keep going, but I have to face the fact that, metaphorically, there's a lot of roots around me. Metaphorically, I'm digging in North Carolina red clay. If you don't know what North Carolina red clay is, imagine a brick a little bit softer. Same color, almost the same consistency. Just thick, thick clay. So it's more. I got the feeling that persistence is more than just, you get rejected, you keep going, because if you keep going and someone else doesn't keep going, then talent ceases to be a concern. And what matters is if you try more times than somebody else does, you've got a better chance. And that's really what persistence is. But in my writing this morning, I realized that not persisting or throwing only half of your effort at something, it's really selfish because you're putting in minimal effort and hoping for maximum output. I had the dreams of the pretty shade garden as I was literally digging a shallow grave for my new cuttings. Did not dig deep enough, didn't water it enough. I just dug it, put them in there, and hoped for beauty. Did not happen. And it's the, when I started to take that concept of only doing a little bit of effort, being selfish, that I realized also, it's that way for your book. It's that way for your career. If you don't put in a lot of effort, you're probably hoping for magical reward, but there is no magic bullet for anything. And people who say there is, they're lying to you, and they probably want to sell you something. They probably own the said magic bullet and want you to buy it. I think back again to the ads that I get. If you want to move your bowels every day, follow this one trick. Why? I don't know. Really don't. It's along the same lines as this mom of four discovered something amazing that you won't believe, and now dermatologists hate her. Which is funny because dermatologists like to see healthy skin. I'm pretty sure. But anyway, I'm getting off topic. Your work, you owe it once you create it. You owe it to create it, and then you owe it to give it all your best effort with the editing and submitting, because you can't expect your work to deliver back to you a career, a best-selling book, an agent, if you're not willing to do your part. Unfortunately, the world is not a perfect place, and you would like to think if I put in X percent of effort, it will deliver back to me X percent of success. There's no promise. You could put in 100% of effort and never get published. That is the dark side, but I'm not going to lie to you. But I do promise that if you put in a 1% effort, you won't even get a 1% return. So it's, there's so many reasons to be hesitant to do something. I think part of my hesitation has to do with my, I've reached enough failures, and as I'm reading the ADD books, ADHD books, it's feeling like this is part of that ADHD brain mentality of I have started and not finished so many projects in my life. I look at this project and I think, why should I bother? I know I'm going to give it up, which is a self-fulfilling prophecy. But I think a lot of that is my feeling of it's going to fail anyway. I'm probably not going to follow through. And it's not a conscious thought, of course. It's more of just, you look out there and you think, I should have dug that hole a little deeper. And you don't do anything about it. Or you think, well, that editor got me comments back. I'm not going to go look at the file. It's a fear resistance feeling, but sometimes you got to look deeper to see where it's coming from, which is hard because a lot of times it stems from fear of success or fear of the spotlight, or like I said earlier, fear that you achieved something once. Will you ever do it again? There's a lot of fear there. But persistence is moving past that fear or telling that fear, all right, I'm afraid. Now let's get to work. That's the funny thing about courage. It's not about not being afraid. It's about being afraid and still doing something. Courage, persistence, that's all the things. Wow, that's... I've been going on about persistence and gardening for a while. Chatty Murr. I didn't even take my ADD meds today. Anyway, since this show streams live, with audience participation, I send it to a producer to clean it up and give you a more polished version. So here's where I'm going to end the show and keep chatting with the folks in the chat. If you want to hear the entirety of the podcast and all the discussions we have, you can go to patreon.com/mightymurr and support there. Or you can join us live for free Tuesdays and Thursdays, 3 p.m. and 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time, respectively. But to find out more about me, you can email mightymurr@gmail.com or go to murrverse.com to see all the work I do. On Twitch and Twitter, I'm Mighty Murr, and I hope to see you next time. And until then, you should be writing. Remember, you can support the show at patreon.com/mightymurr. I Should Be Writing theme music provided by John Anilio. You can find more about him at johnanilio.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike license. The fact that Doctor Who is on TV.